Take your Bibles out, if you would, please, and open them up and follow along with the lesson. The things I preach and teach are things that I believe to be the truths of the Word of God, but I'm not the final standard of authority. The Lord said in John 12:48 that on the last day His words will judge us. And so we have the responsibility to check out all religious teaching, whether it comes from this pulpit or any other area. Make sure it accords with the Word of God. If you feel that I've taught the truth this evening, apply these truths to your life. Teach them to others. If you feel that I've taught error in any way, please approach me, preferably in a friendly way, and let's study together. Try to come to the right conclusion based upon the Word of God. The topic of homosexuality is rapidly becoming a more talked about subject. It used to be that the very mention of the word homosexuality was equivalent to saying the word sin. Sadly, such is no longer the case. As a matter of fact, many in society have embraced the sin of homosexuality. They condone its practice in others, and now speak of it as simply an alternative lifestyle. Currently, there are pushes being made and accepted by many to honor same-sex marriages. And this past week, for the first time in the history of our great nation, we have a president and a vice president who have boldly and shamelessly declared their endorsement of same-sex marriages. Now, as we see and hear so much regarding this issue, especially with it in the limelight this past week, and as it will be all the way through the rest of this year, no doubt, we feel it wise to stop and ask the question, what does the Bible say? You know, I heard on the radio on the way here to service tonight that the acceptance of gay marriage has risen by about 1%. Up till the year 2009. Beginning with 2010, the acceptance of gay marriage has risen by about 5% per year. This is something we need to be talking about. This is something that we need to be letting people know about insofar as what the Bible says. Now, before we get into the meat of the lesson, I hasten to point out that the Bible never says anything, pro or con, about something termed gay marriages or same-sex marriages. What I mean is these terms are not used. But as a friend of mine pointed out, even wicked Rome did not sanction the concept of two people of the same sex marrying each other, and so the gospel didn't make mention specifically of something that did not exist. But we're going to quickly see that although these specific terms are not used, God clearly condemns gay marriages by condemning the basis for gay marriages, homosexuality. If homosexuality is wrong, if homosexuality is sinful, gay marriages, same-sex marriages are sinful. And so we're talking tonight about homosexuality. Now, I do not preach this sermon in order to engender hatred against those who are homosexuals. There are some who unfortunately express their disdain for homosexuality with violent acts and hateful speech against those who are homosexual. But the fact is, God loves the homosexual. Jesus died on the cross for the homosexual. But God cannot forgive the homosexual of his sin until he stops being a homosexual, until he repents of that sin. And so we as God's people should love the homosexual, but we cannot forgive them and we cannot accept them spiritually until they repent of their sin and stop being a homosexual. Now let's think about gay marriage and the Word of God. I want us to see three things about homosexuality this evening. Number one, homosexuality is unlawful. It's unlawful. God condemned homosexuality from the very beginning. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus was asked a question that revealed the depravity of the society in which he lived when it came to marriage and divorce. And they said, is it all right for a man to put away his spouse for just any cause? Part of the Lord's answer to that question, verse 4 of Matthew 19 beginning, have you not read that He who made them, that's God, at the beginning made them male and female? See that? Not male and male, or female and female, but He made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate. Indeed, of course, and obviously, Jesus was absolutely correct when He said that, for God did make for Adam a woman whose name was Eve. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, then the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, He made into a woman. Not a man, but He made into a woman, and He brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Now, the well-worn statement has been used often. That is, for the man, God made Eve, not Steve. My apologies to all the Steves out there. But as one preacher friend of mine likes to say, God did not present to Adam, Eve, and Royce, take your choice. God created a woman for the man. That's what God had planned from the beginning. Not a man for a man, not a woman for a woman, but a woman for a man. God made it abundantly clear to Israel in the law of Moses that homosexuality is unlawful. Leviticus 18, verse 22, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Note that God didn't just say it's an abomination. He said, you shall not do it. Leviticus 20, verse 13, if a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now for all those homosexuals out there, and there are many out there, and those who support them, that claim to follow Christ, they don't believe the gospel condemns the practice of homosexuality, and that they can be a homosexual and a Christian all at the same time. But I point out that homosexuality is condemned, if possible, with even stronger language than it is in the Old Testament. One such passage is found in the familiar verses of the book of Romans chapter 1. And the context there, God has turned His back upon a debased society. And Paul's about to give a long list of the sins these people were guilty of that caused God to give them over to a debased mind. Beginning of verse 24 of Romans 1, the Bible says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. 26, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Now many today in our society says homosexuality is natural. God says it is against nature, and He speaks of men leaving the natural use of the woman. Men today speaks of gay pride, and it's something to be proud of, and we have an official coming out of the closet day. That is, this is the day when homosexuals who have been hiding their sexual preference are encouraged to make it known to the world. Be proud of what you are and who you are. God speaks of homosexuality in verse 27 as being shameful, and verse 28 as being unfitting. Not something to be proud of. As one preacher said many years ago, what used to slink down the back alley now struts down Main Street. And people are proud of their sin and their sinful behavior, and it's something to stick your chest out over and stick your chin up in the air. Man says homosexuality is to be considered pure on the same basis that a man marrying a woman is pure. God refers to it in verse 26 here as vile passions. Vile. That's a strong word. Man says that man is born a homosexual, but God says that it is unnatural. If it's unnatural, then men are not born that way. Otherwise, it couldn't be unnatural, right? Notice that God did place the sex drive naturally within the man, but homosexuality is a perversion of that natural God-given sex drive, just as is adultery, fornication, bestiality, pedophilia, the list goes on. It's unnatural. It's not natural. Man says that since man is born a homosexual, he cannot therefore change. The Bible says that homosexuals did in fact change. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning of verse 8. Actually, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, and such were some of you, were in the past tense. And so in this list is homosexuals and sodomites. Some of these folks were homosexuals. Now they are not. What'd they do? Well, they changed. They were washed. They were sanctified. They were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. It's interesting, he said here at the beginning of the list, do not be deceived. Homosexuals and sodomites will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. A lot of people are deceived today, thinking that they will. The Bible says they will not. A friend of mine who preaches in eastern Kentucky was riding down the road listening to the radio one day, a talk show, and this guy had a homosexual on as a guest, and it was a religious talk show, and they're both sitting there on the radio with their Bibles, reading and studying the Bible, an open homosexual, and they were talking about homosexuality, and they were making the three points. He said the Gospels never condemned homosexual, or Jesus never condemned homosexuality, the Apostle Paul never condemned homosexuality, and he didn't know what the point was, but the book of Revelation never condemned homosexuality. And boy, he's driving down his road and said, I've got to get to a phone. Because they were having people calling in. And so he got to the phone and he called in. And he said, now you said the Apostle Paul didn't condemn homosexuality. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. And so my friend read it to him right there on the radio. And the homosexual spoke up and said, no, wait. You've got that old King James Version here. Let's read it from one of the new versions of the Bible. They're more accurate. And so the guy got to reading his Bible and it said, do you not know that this is the homosexual reading on the radio, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexual. And he stopped, and all of a sudden, click, they hung up on him, and they stopped talking about it. Can you imagine? People just not reading their Bibles. They just want to accept what they want to accept. I'll never forget, many years ago, back when I was still a teenager, and that's going back a few years, I was watching a talk showing where this guy had a guest, and the guest was an open homosexual. And one of the questions the interviewer asked him was, well, do you take heat from the religious people, from the Christians? And the guy said, I'm a Christian. You know what the first thing I thought about? Was that guy's mother. That's the first thing I thought about, was that guy's poor mother. Homosexuality, as presented in the Bible, is unlawful. Number two, not only is it unlawful, but it is unnatural. Actually, I'm way ahead of myself here. I preached half my sermon without ever getting to it. But we'll figure it out. I've already went through all the things in Romans 1, 25 to 28 about what man says versus what the Bible says, showing that it is unnatural. It is against nature. They leave the natural use of the woman. You know, all one has to do is take a look at the simple anatomy of a man and a woman to know that homosexuality is unnatural. That's all you have to do. Just look at the anatomy of a man and the anatomy of a woman, and you can see very clearly and very plainly the male body just is not compatible with another male body. That's just common sense. The same is true with the female body. But at the same time, you can clearly see, just at a glance, that the male body is clearly compatible and actually the perfect counterpart to the female body. That's all one has to do. You know, another biblical argument outside of Romans 1, 25 to 28, and 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, that homosexuality is not natural, is the incident with Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember the story, Sodom and Gomorrah and surrounding cities. One city was spared that was going to be destroyed. Remember a small one, because that's where Lot chose to go. Genesis 19, verse 4 and 5 talks about the sin of the men of Sodom. And what had happened was these angels who had come in the appearance of men were staying with Lot and his family in the city. They were going to stay out in the open court. And Lot begged them, "No, come in, stay at my house." He shut and locked the doors. And then it says in verse 4 of Genesis 19, "Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house, and they called to Lot and said to him, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally.'" The word carnal or carnally means flesh or fleshly. They wanted to commit homosexual acts with them. Young men, old men, men from every quarter. Can you imagine the depravity of Sodom and Gomorrah? But it's interesting to read what Jude wrote about Sodom and Gomorrah and their sin of homosexuality. Over in Jude chapter 1 and verse 7, after one chapter in Jude, verse 7, he says that Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality, and watch this, and gone after strange flesh. See that? Strange flesh. It's not natural. It's strange. It's unnatural. Homosexuality. And so when we talk about gay marriage, we need to talk about homosexuality, which is the basis for gay marriage. The Bible tells us that homosexuality is unlawful. The Bible tells us that homosexuality is unnatural. And the Bible tells us, interestingly enough, that homosexuality is unhealthy. It's unhealthy. Now, it's interesting how the Bible is interested in our health and interested in us having good health. Matter of fact, in 3 John, John's third epistle, 1 chapter, verse 2, John said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health." See that? John prayed that they'd have good health, just as your soul prospers. That's how healthy he wanted them to be, physically, just as your soul prospers. How many people did Jesus heal while he was on this earth? He's interested in people's health. You know, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 19 to 20 tells us that the body is the temple of God. Matter of fact, it says specifically, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Glorify God in your body. Don't use it for vile passions. Glorify God in your body. So how is homosexuality unhealthy? Well, it wasn't too good for Sodom and Gomorrah, was it? wasn't too good for their health. Remember, we read about what they did in Genesis 19, 4 to 7. Genesis 18, 20, the Lord God said, because of the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I'll go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it has come to me. And if not, I will know. Now go back over to Genesis 19 and look at verse 23. The Bible says, the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So He overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. He destroyed them. Matter of fact, when the Bible says, then He looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot did, and toward all the land of the plain, and He saw, and behold, the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. The inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, homosexuality wasn't too good for their health. It was unhealthy in New Testament times. Romans 1:27, again, Paul said, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. You know, today, doctors and scientists have identified a plethora of physical illnesses that are associated with particularly male homosexuality. If you read some of the old commentaries on Romans 1:27, they bring out a whole bag full of different things, what God could be talking about here. But there are many physical problems that result in homosexual acts. And then, of course, there are the diseases that run rampant among homosexuals. Deadly diseases in many cases. Gonorrhea, syphilis, HPV virus that can lead to cancer in many cases. There's chlamydia, herpes, and the list goes on. And then, of course, hepatitis. Hepatitis B, to be specific, as I'm told, and HIV, AIDS have been directly linked to homosexuality and ultimately lead to death, and not a very pleasant death. Somebody says, Mike, that's not very pretty. That's not pretty stuff. Listen, sin isn't pretty. Sin's ugly. The results of sin are ugly. And then there are the problems with the psychological health of homosexuals, tormenting themselves. The suicide rate remains extremely high among homosexuals. In fact, one report showed that in 2005, 50% of all suicides were attributed to homosexuality. One website stated, all available evidence indicates that the lifespan of practicing homosexual persons is drastically shortened by their behavior. No reliable study indicates otherwise. The lifespan topic is taboo among homosexual advocates because the evidence is so damaging to their case. Even in 1994, an obituary study revealed that the median age of death for homosexual males was 42 and for lesbians was 49. If you're a homosexual male, you had a good chance of being dead by the age of 42, whether it be through disease or through suicide. 73% of psychiatrists, I'm told, say that homosexuals are less happy than the average person. And of those psychiatrists, 70% say that the unhappiness is not due to social stigmatization. In other words, they're not unhappy because people were down on them for being homosexual. They're just unhappy because they're homosexual. It affects every fiber of your being. Physically, emotionally, most important, spiritually. The worst part of the health aspect is that homosexuality is spiritually unhealthy. We've made it abundantly clear that homosexuality is sin, and the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin are death. Listen, prices are going high, prices are going low, they're back and forth. The wages of sin remain the same. It's always death. Remember 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11, we read a few moments ago? Homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You know, all the talk since President Obama made his announcement this week supporting gay marriages. I've been listening to the radio. Everybody's talking about it. And one report shows that the announcement has boosted his support among the nation's young people. That young people of our nation, by and large, have no problem with gay marriages, same-sex marriages. I'm going to tell you something that frightens me. That frightens me. Our young people are being deceived. Because of the initiatives of the gay pride movement, more and more are coming out and more are being accepted among their peers and among their friends as being normal. Even Barbara Bush made the statement to her husband who believes in one man and one wife for life. She made the statement because she is for gay marriage. And she told her husband that, hey, we have friends who are homosexuals. Well, so what? I have friends who are in prison for pedophilia. Does that make that sin okay? I had a friend years ago who was guilty of murder. Does that make murder okay, since that's my friend? Young people need to understand that just because it's becoming socially accepted doesn't make it right. They need to know all the dangers associated with it. Hebrews 3:13, the Bible says, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's what's happening to a lot of young people today. They're being hardened through the deceitfulness, through the deceitful nature of the homosexual propaganda that's out there trying to make all of us think that it's just normal and natural and wonderful. And it's a deadly lifestyle and a damning sin. And people lose their souls for it. Young people, don't be deceived. Homosexuality is deadly both physically and spiritually, regardless of what our president or anybody else says. It is a deadly sin. Homosexuality, as presented in the Bible, it is unlawful. Even if our nation passes laws in every state that allows it, and that allows gay marriages and so forth, God says it's wrong. And it's a sin. Not only is it unlawful, but it's unnatural. Even if every president we have from this day forward says that it's natural and it ought to be accepted, it is unnatural. Homosexuality is unhealthy. I don't care what anybody says. The statistics are overwhelming that show that that type of lifestyle destroys your health, your physical health. The Bible teaches that too, Romans 1:27. But the Bible also teaches us this. You may not just live your life over it. You'll lose your soul over it. Let's pray. Thank you for listening to this sermon. Are you a child of God, a Christian? The Bible tells us exactly how to become a disciple of Christ. It begins by hearing the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. After hearing, one must believe in Jesus as God's Son. The Lord Himself said, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins, John 8:24. After hearing and believing, one must then repent of his sins. He must make a conscious decision that from this point on, he will no longer serve sin and Satan, but will serve the Lord, Acts 2:38. One must then be willing to confess his faith in Christ. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:9 and 10. One is now ready to be baptized for the remission of his sins. Ananias said to Saul in Acts 22:16, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Baptism is that point where the precious blood of Christ finally connects with our sins and washes them away. If we may assist you in obeying the gospel, you can contact us through our website at www.defendthegospel.com. That's www.defendthegospel.com. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.